Welcome to Private Club Radio, your weekly source for industry education, news and discussion. Broadcasting from Tampa, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Gabriel Aloisi.
Hey there, Monday after the Masters, and we've got a fantastic lineup of guests for you today. We're going to be chatting with Mike Hendricks, the Vice President of Business Services for Golf Now, talking about a new program that Golf Now has. It's called the Ride Program. And if you're a club who's not connected to a Club Corp or a Troon or one of the other management companies out there, I really think this is an option that you should look into, because there's basically free money sitting out there. And Mike's going to show you how you can get your hands on some of that today, or a little bit more of that, I should say, by using the power of a GPO, a group purchasing organization like the Ride Program. So it's really a great talk. Mike is just a really fun guy to chat with, and so you're going to enjoy that one for sure. After Mike, we're going to be speaking with Brad Steele from the National Club Association, and Brad's going to give us an update on some things that they're doing at the local and state level for clubs across the country. There's some battles being fought that you should pay attention to, and Brad's going to talk to us about that. Well, like I said at the top of the show, this is the Monday after the Masters as we're recording this in real time. Patrick Reed won yesterday in a nice finish. He just was steady the whole weekend. And I was really happy to see Patrick win because I actually picked him. When people were asking me who I thought would win, I chose Justin Rose and Patrick Reed, and that's who I told everybody. You may have heard me say that possibly if you're in our Facebook forum, the Private Club Radio Listeners Forum. For instance, I'm pretty sure on one of the live videos over there, I talked about those two guys. Now, why did I choose Patrick Reed? Because he was kind of an outsider, I would say. Most people were focusing on Tiger or Rory or some of these other folks. Well, I was really impressed that he, in my opinion, had a lot of momentum going into Augusta. So I had seen him play at Innisbrook here during the Valspar Championship. And I had also seen that at Bay Hill, he had, I think, a top five finish, at least top 10 anyways. And so he had a lot of momentum going in. And over the years, the guys who have the momentum who are playing well in the lead up to the Masters are generally the champions. And that's why I had picked both him and Justin Rose, because I thought those guys had some really good momentum. Plus, I thought their games really matched that particular course. I didn't even realize at the time Patrick Reed, I think, is the number one putter on tour. And so that's a place you really got to putt for sure. You got to make those birdies coming down the stretch. And his putting is really what kept him in that. But I want to get back to that idea of momentum real quick, because momentum is so important. And we're turning the corner here. It's sort of quarter two, just about to begin or just having begun for 2018, the second quarter. And I would just like to challenge you to see if you are building on the momentum that you had in quarter one. A lot of the courses up north especially are just now opening their doors. It's been a very cold winter, and it's tough to have momentum when there's snow on the ground all winter. But hopefully you've been doing some things internally in your organization to build that momentum. And if you haven't, there's no time like the present to start. But you've got to start. So let's start thinking about momentum. Let's start thinking creatively. Let's start thinking outside the box. And you're going to hear a couple examples of that from our guest today on this show. And it's going to be a really fun episode. So without further ado, let's bring on our first guest. Well, my guest today is Mike Hendricks. He's the Vice President of Business Services at Golf Now. Mike's a successful entrepreneur and proven leader of sales teams. He's a former small business owner. Now he's working with the Golf Channel and Golf Now with this new Ride program, which we've got him on here to talk about. So, Mike, welcome to Private Club Radio.
Thanks, Gabe. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me down to your offices. I met you guys, it was right around the PGA Showtime, and you were showing me this new program, the Ride program, and it got me really interested. So I wanted to bring you on the show and so you could share it with listeners and some clubs out there that might be able to benefit. Can you first explain, Mike, the Ride program and how clubs across North America can benefit from it?
So at its very most basic level, Ride is a group purchasing program. And typically that means that someone is using some leverage to go and source, whether it's better products or better prices, and they pass that along to a large group of businesses. In our case, RIDE leverages an existing relationship between Comcast, who is ultimately the owns Golf Channel and NBC Sports and Golf Now, et cetera. It leverages that relationship between Comcast and really one of the world's largest GPOs by the name of Premier. And so Golf Now became a sponsor of that program a few years ago, and we deliver that opportunity to as many golf courses as we can, and at no charge. We don't have a membership fee or anything like that. We frankly are trying to provide value to these golf courses as, you know, in addition to or as a way to get to know them and perhaps grow a relationship down the road.
Yeah, I got to imagine it's nice to be able to tap into the buying power of Comcast. It's a pretty big entity out there.
It is pretty remarkable. A lot of people don't know, but you know, Comcast ultimately owns the Philadelphia Flyers, and they own some arenas, and they also have a company that manages food service at universities and arenas and events. And so once you learn that, you start to understand, oh my goodness, Comcast actually is very integrated with food purchases. And then all of this kind of starts to click and make sense. And frankly, I feel fortunate. This is not something that we created at Golf Now. This is something that we, quite honestly, just simply learned about. I feel fortunate to be able to access it and you know, and go deliver that to the local independently owned golf course or, you know, a large or mid-sized management company or what have you. I genuinely feel lucky to just be able to bring that to golf courses.
You know, for clubs out there, if you can't tap into the Club Corp network and you don't have the ability to really tap into one of these purchasing programs, I think it's a great opportunity. So let's talk about some of the partners that you guys have when they join this RIDE program. Who are they having access to, Mike?
Sure. So we do have, in terms of a broadline food distributor, and so when I say broadline, you're thinking, you know, the semi truck that you see going down the highway, whether it says, you know, GFS on it, or in our case, we work with US Foods. And so we do have an exclusive relationship with US Foods. But when I say exclusive, that's exclusive to broadlines, because we also are able to work with independent produce companies. So there are some food options outside of the US Foods relationship. But no question, one of our largest partners in this endeavor is US Foods. And so it's interesting. We actually are, and when I say we, I don't just mean Golf Now. I'm talking about the larger Comcast / Premier relationship. As it turns out, Gabe, we are the largest customer that US Foods has. And as you can imagine, that affords us some opportunities that maybe some other people don't have. One of the ways I like to explain that to people is, there are lots and lots of food sales reps out there. Those people that do a great job of that, and they hustle and they call on restaurants and golf courses all day long, they actually don't even have the access to the pricing that we've negotiated. So, yeah. So you can, you know, that's just kind of comes along with being the biggest customer of a supplier like that. So, another big partner of ours is a company called Cinetech. And that's on the agronomy side of the business. And they deliver you know, fertilizer and chemicals. They also actually are quite a player in the technology space specific to golf course superintendents. So technology like Task Tracker, which is a piece of technology that people use to understand where everybody is on the golf course, and not just geographically, but how long it takes to complete the task of changing the cups, or how long it takes to complete bunkers, because that data ultimately rolls into a larger database and it helps the superintendent to better manage the crew. And frankly, right, it helps the superintendent to have conversations about budgeting in the future. And so Cinetech has been a great partner of ours. They're based out of the greater Philadelphia area, but they service almost the entire country. And we also have partners like Verizon and Office Depot, Grainger. All of those types of supply companies are a big part of Ride as well. And the way, so let's say a country club wanted to change out all of their tables and chairs. We provide a service where we manage the RFP for that, or we even frankly create the RFP for that. We go to three or four dedicated suppliers that we have relationships with. We, you know, very matter of factly say, well, listen, I've got an opportunity here for 20 tables and 80 chairs. We get three prices back and we go straight to the general manager and say, here are your options. All of these are at a reduced price of what you could get on the street. And Mr. General Manager or Miss General Manager, it's completely up to you who you pick. So we don't, you know, we don't require anybody to purchase from any kind of supplier like that. We're just trying to provide options.
Yeah. The other thing I really liked about the program when I heard it is that there's not necessarily a annual fee or monthly fee involved. Can you tell folks how the logistics happen with this Ride program, Mike?
Sure. So from a logistical perspective, someone signs what's called a letter of participation. We internally refer to it as an LOP. And that letter of participation simply says, hey, I intend to purchase, within this GPO. There is an agreement there that says I won't share pricing, right? So I won't, you know, get my invoice from US Foods and then run around town and share it with different food suppliers. Exactly.
Right.
But you know, Gabe, beyond that, there actually isn't a whole lot. The program has proven itself out to be so substantial that it's not an environment where, you know, Mr. Golf Course Operator, I have to have this long-term commitment from you, or there's no way I can make this work. This opportunity is so impactful and frankly so straightforward on the savings that we deliver. We don't find ourselves in an environment where we really have to mandate much of anything. So we simply sign a letter of participation, and then there's some blocking and tackling. So we do need to introduce the golf course to US Foods, and there's obviously an ongoing relationship that exists between, say, the food and beverage manager and the account executive at US Foods, and we put those relationships together and try to make sure that those relationships are working and communicative and that type of thing. But it's not a whole lot of, you know, regulation or requirement that's involved. We're trying to make this really simple and just trying to kind of, you know, help improve the bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. So what happens? Do people log into a portal of some sort and then they can see the items that they want to purchase? How does it work?
So with Cinetech, our agronomy partner, it's one of the first agronomy companies that I know of. And we, you know, we kind of nudged on this a little bit and said we thought this would be impactful. One of the first companies I know of, they've put their entire product catalog online. And so it's very simple for a superintendent to go and look at, you know, hundreds of pages, right, of what they could purchase for their golf course, whether it be chemical or fertilizer, et cetera, et cetera. And so all that's really simple to see. And frankly, it's simple to understand what a price comparison would look like, et cetera, et cetera. On the food side, U.S. Foods, while not the largest broadline distributor, the second largest broadline distributor, they are without question the leader in terms of the technology that they use to run their company and the technology that they make available for free to their customers. And so on a U.S. Foods side, your entire order guide is online. It's in an app. You can even track where the truck is, you know, hey, the truck is an hour and a half out. I can see it's on the north side of town. We happen to be on the south side of town. The technology that those two partners specifically, has delivered to us has been outstanding. And it's one of the main reasons I value those relationships.
Oh, that's awesome. I can imagine myself sitting, you know, I've sat in restaurants before and just thinking that they were, skinning the calf outside while they're waiting for my steak. But now we know for sure where that's coming from. That's really cool. That's really awesome. Like, how about in terms of time saving? I got to imagine this saves a ton of time for people when they're purchasing for their departments.
Yes. And so I've said this publicly many times, that if you're a golf course operator, a country club operator, a board, what have you, and you're not in a GPO, again, a group purchasing organization, or in our case, we refer to ourselves as a GPP, a group purchasing program. If you're not using something like that, regardless of whether you want to use a ride, I would really encourage everyone in the golf space to get into one of these things. And here's why. The amount of time that a chef or a food and beverage manager, a superintendent spends on shopping, to save 5 cents here. And listen, every savings matters. I would never suggest that doesn't matter. But the amount of time that some people invest in doing all the calculations every single week really takes away from what I believe they can deliver to the business in terms of being a face of the company, in terms of spending more time with the staff and really helping the staff to become better at delivering whatever that club happens to want to deliver, a phenomenal entertainment experience, a phenomenal golf course. Lots of different clubs have different goals. The amount of time that some of those people invest in every single penny, I don't really think comes back in return. I believe the ROI on that time is low. I can only speak for Ride, but in our environment, our pricing is so buttoned up and so negotiated. So we're not just negotiating with US Foods. We're negotiating directly with Tyson, or we're negotiating directly with Hormel. We're locking in pricing that nobody can get to, and we're even ensuring that inflation cannot disproportionately impact pricing. And so we will see this sometimes in a commodity environment, which certainly that's where you are with so much of this food, maybe not plastic plates, but even some people could make that argument as well. But in a commodity environment, when a market spikes, to be in a relationship with a group purchasing program that limits the supplier from really running with that spike and kind of exponentially trying to leverage that spike, that is a place that I believe every person involved in the food service business wants to be. I'm just not certain that every golf course operator knows that opportunity even exists. Yeah. And so it's been remarkable to me to look at the time that certain chefs or F&B managers invest in shopping for every penny, and what that takes away from what they could be doing with that time is really kind of remarkable. So I do believe we can deliver significant time savings. And I don't want to say we, Gabe. I would go back to any GPO.
Right.
Whether Ride is the way you want to go or somewhere else, I believe any GPO, asterisk, I'm assuming it's well managed, but I believe any GPO affords these people more time in their day than they have today.
Right. And that's priceless. Obviously, time is the most valuable commodity that there is that exists. So, yeah, I can totally see that. So I saw you out at TPC Tampa Bay. You guys were shooting some commercials for the Ride program and things. So how are you rolling this out across the country, Mike?
So, yeah, so that was definitely nice to see you there in your backyard. That day that we spent at TPC Tampa Bay, and that's a golf course that's a big Ride partner. That was actually all about highlighting the chef. So the chef there is named Ben Clark. And we believe that if we can highlight some of these great chefs and some of these great general managers that work at public golf courses and private golf courses all around North America, we believe if we highlight these people and help them tell their story and help people understand, really kind of how amazing they are and how dedicated they are to providing an amazing experience. We think that's a huge win for the facility. And whenever we can create a win for the facility, we're all about that. I will tell you, though, from a self-serving perspective, when a golf course, say, in Kansas City, sees Ben preparing some of the food that he prepared that day and talking about the benefits of working with Ride, when a golf course in Kansas City sees that, and that finally helps the light bulb go off for them, and they say, you know, I actually think this might be something that's a good fit for us, well, then that's great for the Ride program in general. Obviously, the stronger or the larger Ride gets, the more opportunities I can bring to the table. And I want to do that. What's great about Ride is it's so, you know, one-sided. I'm just trying to provide savings to as many golf courses as we can. And right. So that's really what we were doing there. I'm a big believer in video. I'm a big believer that that's how most consumers want to consume of all the different types of media, all the different types of content. I believe video is the most impactful. And so that's the course we've set out to really go around and highlight these chefs kind of under a working title of Chefs Ride with Golf Now. And highlight these people and the amazing food that they deliver and the amazing experience they delivered. So we in Tampa last week was number one, and I've got a whole plan to do this coast to coast.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really love that concept, and I think that clubs can use that lesson actually in a lot of their own marketing, because you know, a lot of times clubs, especially in the private club world, are scared to market. And I think, you know, the story or the lesson there from what you guys are doing is that is stories are really what sells, right? So telling the stories of your members, of your chef, of the people that work at your club, that can be a really impactful way to spread the message. And I love that you're doing that within the industry as well, Mike. That's pretty cool.
And if I could just grow on that a little bit. So I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio, and there's a really successful restaurant operator there by the name of Cameron Mitchell, and it owns many different types of restaurants. And Cameron is amazing at telling stories visually. He's amazing at telling stories to the point that consumers want to be at his properties. There's something that happens when you see a Cameron Mitchell story. It draws you to the restaurant. I would love to see more and more clubs go that route. That you know, tell a story to me as a potential club member that makes me want to be there more often. And I think what you just said about clubs becoming more comfortable doing that, I think is so key. But I really do believe that that's the long play, that you want to tell stories that make people want to be there. And then from there, I think everything, assuming we're doing a good job of managing the facility and providing service, et cetera, I do believe things start to take care of themselves from that point.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Absolutely. Well, I know you've got a special gift for our listeners, Mike. Can you tell folks what you're doing for PCR listeners with the Ride program?
So, yes, you know, I think putting the money where your mouth is ultimately how you prove these things out. And so what we're offering is, if you're interested in using Ride and you would like for us to audit your existing relationship, meaning deliver us a couple of invoices and we will do a very professional price comparison. I actually have a team of people that are all food service veterans that understand how to match product to product. We do a full audit of your F&B spend, or we can do a full audit of your agronomy spend, and then deliver you a proposal that shows, had you been purchasing within the Ride program, how much savings we could have created. And I will tell you, we've done over 1400 audits. So we understand how to navigate that process. Our consistent number, or I don't want to say consistent, the average savings that we create for golf clubs specific to the F&B vertical is 17%. And you can do the math. There are lots and lots and lots of clubs that are spending over $200,000 a year on raw goods, specific to food. And so 17% is a pretty impactful number.
Yeah, that's huge. That's awesome. Well, I definitely think that listeners should take advantage of it. It sounds like there's no reason not to, for sure. If they want to actually take you up on your offer, Mike, what's the best way to get in touch with the ride program and you?
Yes. So it's a simple ride at golfchannel.com is our general inbox. And we've got three people that monitor that throughout the day. And we can really start a relationship right then and follow up. And then we do have people in the field. We would ultimately introduce a market manager to whomever and begin that process. And again, it's no strings attached. It's really just a way for us to show you what it could mean to your business if you became part of a GPO.
Right. That's awesome. So ride@golfchannel.com is the email address. Shoot them an email and definitely sign up and get that free audit. It takes you just a little bit of work and could save you a ton of money down the line for sure. Mike, thank you so much for joining us on Private Club Radio. You were an awesome guest and hope to have you back on here sometime soon.
Well, thanks, Gabe, for reaching out. I enjoyed getting to know you that PGA Show week and have enjoyed following what you're up to. So I'm a new fan.
And now it's time for Club Perspectives, presented by the National Club Association.
Well, Brad Steele, Vice President of Government Relations and General Counsel of the National Club Association, joins me today. We're going to talk about state legislative issues affecting some clubs, both in Maryland and New York State. So, Brad, let's start off with Maryland and find out what's going on over there.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting time for the folks in Maryland. This issue actually began as a county-specific piece of legislation. So it was really just to be affecting private clubs in Montgomery County. Montgomery County, Maryland, is the bedroom community of Washington, D.C. So as you can imagine, it has a significant real estate tax issue. Those costs are always very high or higher in Montgomery County than most any other county in the state. So when this legislative proposal came through to change the way in which those clubs had their real estate assessed, we knew that that would have a significant issue and impact on their particular tax liability. So we engaged not only the National Club Association, but those clubs throughout that county, including places like Bethesda Country Club and Chevy Chase Club and Congressional and many others, to sort of say, all right, how are we going to attack this? What will we do? The delegate, sort of the state House of Representatives in Maryland, is called the House of Delegates. So the delegate who brought this forward was a Democrat by the name of David Moon, and Delegate Moon decided that this is a great way for the county to generate more money. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
of course.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
Let's attack private clubs and make them pay more in real estate taxes. Thankfully, we had a number of the county members of the House of Delegates come forward and really had a question with regard to what Delegate Moon was doing. Obviously, this was pitting one industry against others. We felt it absolutely inappropriate and wrong for private clubs to be attacked. So again, with our member clubs and others who weren't members of the National Club Association, we joined together in the Maryland Coalition for Concerned Clubs. And that coalition then got to hire a local lobbyist, because while I'm great and good, at the end of the day, you sure as heck don't want the D.C. lobbyist going to Annapolis to yell and scream about private clubs. So we were able to get those with some local expertise to do so, and they served us exceptionally well. Interesting process with regard to this is that it first starts with every House of Delegate member from Montgomery County taking a look at this bill, because the bill only affected one county, their own. So they had to give their imprimatur of approval before it was passed on to the entire House of Delegates. And thankfully, through our efforts, we were able to quash the bill. I actually beat it 17-7.
Wow.
We brought it down.
What were some of the arguments you guys used to do that?
Well, certainly our first and foremost argument was that this would be an immediate impact on the employees of private clubs, because obviously should this be, as we expected, a nearly 7-10-fold increase in assessment and potentially a 5-10-fold increase in actual tax liability,
wow.
That would cause many private clubs to say, well, for us to pay this increase in the property taxes, we're going to have to reduce our employees, the number of employees, we're going to have to cut back jobs. Mm-hmm. So when we really talked about the employment issue and the employment impact, many of those delegates said, wow, we didn't really quite understand, and maybe Delegate Moon didn't quite understand the kind of financial impact this would have on clubs. And if it impacts clubs, obviously there's no private club in the country that says, oh, well, don't worry about it. We've got the reserves for a five-fold increase right. in our tax liability. We just don't have that. So that means you either cut services, and when you cut services, you cut employees, or you increase dues. And increasing dues just wasn't going to happen. So at the end of the day, that was the primary argument. But additionally, the actual reason why Montgomery County has a really beneficial tax assessment process for private clubs is because the county actually and the state actually put in place this plan to ensure that we curbed development. I mean, this is a bedroom community of Washington, D.C. It has significant traffic congestion issues. It's got significant sprawl and crawl issues. And if you increased the property tax for private clubs, some of the smaller clubs in the county may say, look, we're done. If you're going to tax us as, in essence, residential real estate, oh, we can't pay it. Let's develop it into residential real estate.
Right.
And that being the case, that would certainly add to everything from school overcrowding to, again, congestion and to the growth of the county in a way that would really be detrimental.
Wow.
So those two were the principal arguments that actually got the local delegation to say, yeah, we don't like this. The bad news is, while we won on the county side, in other words, those delegates in the county said, we don't want this bill to go forward, Delegate Moon decided, well, that's okay, I'll just make it a statewide bill. In other words, he took what was to only be a Montgomery County issue and then made it a statewide issue, saying that every county, every club in the state of Maryland was now going to have, actually some clubs would have a lower property tax, an actual liability that's less, while some would be higher. So there he had just an immediate desire to have class warfare against private clubs, club against club. Mm-hmm. And again, really an unfortunate reality and one that we immediately started to beat back. So the good news right now is through our engagement, our grassroots lobbying, so many of our local clubs have actually been, their staffers have been to Annapolis, sat in the meetings, spoke to their delegates, and most importantly, been in hearings to say, look, this is going to hurt us, that it's been somewhat successful to stop the statewide initiative as well. One of the first places we had to do so was in the House Ways and Means Committee, Taxation Committee, and that committee actually really has not moved on Delegate Moon's bill. So if it can't come out of the Committee of Jurisdiction, then it can't get to the floor of the House of Delegates, which is great news for us. The session ends on April 9th, so we've got about a few more days or so, depending on when this airs, and we'll be able to hopefully be able to say to you in a follow-up discussion that we indeed killed legislation that would have pitted club against club and raised property taxes for private clubs in the state of Maryland. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, but I think our message is getting through in that state.
No, that's fantastic, Brad. Great to see that they all rallied together, all the clubs in that area. That's amazing. So let's talk about what's happening in New York State. There's something else going on up there.
Unfortunately, just as we dealt with the Maryland property tax issue, then New York State did almost the exact same thing. And in that particular bill was statewide to start with, introduced by a Democratic member from the State Assembly, which is their House of Representatives, Assemblywoman Sandra Galef. She actually was a part of a private club some many years ago, Sleepy Hollow Country Club, and decided to leave. And now I guess she's taking out her vengeance by, again, telling local communities or localities in the state of New York that, hey, why don't we let you determine how best to assess the value of a private club. So what that simply means is if the local community, the town that Representative Galef represents is Briarcliff, New York, Westchester area. If that town council decides that what it wants to do is to assess private country club in that town as a residential highest and best use assessment, then obviously those real estate assessment and therefore the real estate tax will be significantly higher than it currently is, because currently those clubs aren't going to be assessed as residential property because they aren't residential property. They're open space, right? So this particular legislation says across the state of New York, localities have the right to determine how they're going to assess property, highest and best use, we would assume residential, or as it's currently being used. And that's something that we've been fighting, obviously, as you can well imagine. We worked together with the New York State Club Association a great association that's been around for many, many years, and sort of an offshoot of NCA on the state level, and worked with their leadership, Charles Dorn and Bob James and Randy Reuter, to work to get local lobbyists again to head up to Albany and to really state our claim. And they've done an outstanding job so far. At this juncture, we know that, interestingly enough, Representative Galliff is the chairwoman of the Real Estate Property Tax Committee. Couldn't be a worse person to introduce this bill, right? She actually runs the committee.
Yeah, right.
But the good news, our discussions and our grassroots efforts and our lobbyists' work have been able to actually have her remove the bill from her committee's schedule and agenda as of now. So it sounds as though we're making some impressions, not only upon her, but also with some of the folks of her committee, so that she's not comfortable bringing that bill up quite yet. Now, unlike Maryland, New York has its session last until June 20th. So we've got a lot of time, a lot of more work that we're going to need to do, and we'll continue to do so. But the good news is we're at least, again, making an impression, ensuring that private clubs' interests and the impact that this will have on jobs, just like it would in Maryland, and the impact that it would have on the communities, are really being understood by those local state representatives. And with luck, we'll be able to beat this one back too.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. I wonder if everyone's listening to the Malcolm Gladwell podcast from last year about the California clubs. It seems like when it rains, it pours, huh, Brad?
Yeah, not as fun, and we don't want to give him too much credit for doing too much of anything, but at the same time, we certainly know that there are a lot of folks who just think it's easy pickings. Private clubs,
right?
Well, they got more money. Right. And so when we fight for things that are better and helpful to private clubs on the federal legislative side, on Capitol Hill, and when we do so to stop issues that are bad on the federal legislative side, we certainly want folks to know that that we also have our ears to the ground to ensure that we affect and help those clubs with the governments that touch them the closest, and that is their local state legislature. So we're pleased to be in the fight. We're continuing to push hard, and as I say, hopefully the next time we talk, we'll have some very good news about Maryland, and we'll also have some good news with regard to New York. Fingers crossed, huh?
I can't wait to hear all about it for sure, Brad. Thank you so much for all you guys are doing, and I'll catch you out in LA. Thanks for being on the show.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
To learn more about the National Club Association, please visit nationalclub.org.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Private Club Radio. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me here on a Monday, spending some time with me. Can't wait to do it again with you next week. So until then, here's to your membership success.
Private Club Radio is brought to you by Concert Golf Partners, helping to preserve and enhance private golf and country clubs. Concert Golf has the capital, expertise, and private club hospitality experience to help upscale private clubs achieving long-term success and membership growth. For 25 years, Concert Golf has allowed private club members to focus on simply enjoying their club. Visit concertgolfpartners.com to learn more about the recapitalization process.